Okay, we're going to call House Finance Committee to order at 12:51 PM. And it is Tuesday, May 16th, 2023. And present today, we have Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Stapp, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Krant, Representative Ortiz, myself, Co-Chair Foster. And before we start, just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. In the room, we've got Representative Sumner. Thanks for joining us. And, oh, in the back. Okay, and we've also got Senator Tobin. Thanks for joining us today. And so this afternoon, we will hear Senate Bill 48, which is carbon offsets. We'll be taking amendments, and the intent is to move the bill, if that is the will of the committee. And then we'll also take up Senate Bill 140, which is Internet for Schools. So first up, before we get into the amendment process, let's see here. I just want to see if we have any questions for anyone, whether it's Ms. Rena Miller or anyone else. So do we have any questions on the bill before we jump into the one amendment that we have? Okay, seeing none, Representative Colon.
Thank you, Chair. Can I get, I don't know who's here from the department. I don't see the commissioner. Yeah, I do have a question.
Okay, Ms. Miller, if you can come up and put yourself on the record, and if you'd like anyone else to also join in, we can do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, through the chair. So, and this speaks to the amendment that I have. So I thought maybe I could get you on the record and kind of speak to my concern. My concern, and I've expressed it in committee before, is that the carbon credits have an opportunity to raise the cost of energy in Alaska. And the reason why I say that is because anytime you're requiring resource companies to buy something, to do business, generally that goes downhill. And I've heard a lot of this session about energy cost, the schools and the interior and other ways. So my amendment addresses that. This is my concern that I'd like you to speak to, is that how does the department and how do you see the state mitigating raising revenue and not increasing energy costs to Alaskans?
And maybe if we could just take a quick brief at ease, sorry. Okay, House Finance back on record at 12:56 PM. And Representative Colon, I might have you go ahead and just move amendments, your amendment.
Move amendment one.
Okay, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. And also I'd like to note that we have Representative Co-Chair Edgman, Representative Co-Chair Johnson at the finance table, and then we've also got, I think I saw Representative Rauscher walk in a moment ago. There you are. I just wanted to welcome you to House Finance. So with that, we have amendment number one before us by Representative Colombe, and I objected. And Ms. Miller, if you can put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rena Miller, Special Assistant to the Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Representative Colombe. We understand the intent behind the amendment and appreciate your concern. We want to, I think, start by just being really clear that the bill doesn't require any corporation, whether that be an Alaska business or a corporation somewhere else in the country, doesn't require them to buy these credits or put any kind of an emission limit on them to which they're obligated to look for a means to offset them. As we've discussed, it is an increasing reality of doing business for many of these corporations that their customers, their shareholders, their investors are, or sometimes their inherent internal values are pushing them to make voluntary emission reduction, net zero type goals. And purchasing offsets from the market is one avenue that these corporations can take in order to meet those goals. So just with that clarity there, I think that it's certainly not the department's intent that this new reality and our engagement in the carbon market drive up costs for Alaskans or for anybody else. Mm-hmm. We believe that these corporations are going to seek these offset credits at general market prices. As we've discussed, some of them value certain kinds from certain areas with certain co-benefits more highly than others. We want to put out a fair credit that accomplishes the kind of concurrent goals mm-hmm. of following through on our constitutional obligation to maximize the resources of the state. Carbon is a replenishable resource in this context that generates revenue for the state, that concurrently does something positive for the environment, but also put something out there on the market that these corporations that are needing to can purchase in order to accomplish those goals. So really, you know, we do appreciate the intent statement and look at it very much as an additional use of those resources, mm-hmm. But do hope to generate modest revenue for the state in conjunction with that.
Right. Can I have a follow-up?
Follow-up.
So the way I look at this, and there, I have a lot of emails about this issue from constituents, so why the carbon bills are important to me is that I see it as a tool to help the resource development continue in the state more than really getting revenue. I think we've seen that the revenue, if it does come, it's going to come later. So I guess, you know, I can't tell the companies what to charge people. But if the state is overburdened with regulatory costs, or they're driving revenue and not paying attention to the cost of the consumer, that's where my concern is. That's where the amendment comes from. We can only control what the state does. I can't control what oil and gas does. But I do see it more just through all the sessions is that it's a tool to help our industry do business. It is the world we live in, whether you agree with ESG or not. You may or may not agree with carbon credits. It's what they have to do business right now. And I accept that. And I just want to be sure that there's a view from the state making sure you're balancing what you're doing and not passing, you know, the oil and gas starts passing it down to the consumer. Because I would hate for us to enter into this and then energy prices start going up and nobody knows why. So that's the intent of the amendment.
Commissioner Boyle, if you'd like to put yourself on the record.
Yeah, Co-Chair Foster, this is John Boyle, Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, for the record. And to Representative Colombe, we really appreciate the sentiments of your amendment. Clearly what's driving the demand in carbon credits are factors that are outside of Alaska. You know, by implementing this carbon program here in the state, we're not the ones that are driving the demand for the product. We're the ones actually offering supply for those companies that are demanding it. So if anything, in my opinion, by the state offering this regime for folks that want to purchase carbon credits in the state, it's really the best way that the state has to protect Alaskans from different price shocks, because at least the revenues that we're collecting from this activity, of course, are going to have myriad purposes as you guys appropriate for a public good. And also, as we look to the carbon sequestration part, which I realize is not part of this bill, growing our permanent fund, which can then be redistributed out in the form of a dividend. This is actually one mechanism that we have as the state to protect and provide some incentives for the people of the state of Alaska based on the policies and regulations of other jurisdictions and the choices that companies are making on their own volition to implement these types of net zero and other carbon neutral policies. I think what we're doing is really getting to the heart of what the intent is behind your amendment, which is protecting Alaskans ultimately from some of these policies.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got a question. I believe it was Representative Josephson, and then I think staff. Was there another hand up? I don't see it, so we'll go to Representative Josephson.
Well, I wasn't going to start with the through the chair with the commissioner's last comment, but it was provocative to me. You want to protect Alaskans from some of these policies. What do you mean?
Yeah, Representative Josephson, through the chair, maybe that was an inartful way of expressing it. What I'm trying to express are that companies are interested in achieving net zero targets. Some of that, I believe, is being driven either by regulation in certain jurisdictions, or it's being driven by corporate policies to obtain certain environmental standards and benchmarks that are influencing their behaviors. And I think it is fair to say that those policies may involve a cost on their product. So if just a certain national airlines wants to achieve a net zero policy and they don't have the technology or other mechanisms at hand to reach that environmental goal through existing technologies, and they want to continue to remain in business, they're going to look potentially to forest or other carbon-based offsets to meet those goals. And as a result of that, that may have some impact on the pricing that they charge their consumers through increased ticket costs or whatever, so they can meet those goals. We as a state don't have the ability to control that mechanism within their pricing. So I guess what I was trying to say is that by having this program in place, by offering these credits, we can actually see more public benefit accrue to some of the consumers that may bear those costs through increased government spending here, through our permanent fund dividend, other mechanisms that sort of enable some of that to accrue back to the benefit of the Alaskan consumer that may be paying a higher price based on those companies' choices.
Follow up?
As to turning to the amendment, my understanding is, and I think in the mindset of the legislature writ large, when we were thinking about the purchasers of credits, it was folks in the lower 48, and you've sort of suggested the same. There may be our own industry may be interested in purchasing credits. But in that respect, to the extent this this bill would be used as a resource development tool, it would be for resources that help our brothers and sisters in the lower 48, right? It's compelled to have no net loss on biomass. We heard that testimony. So this is, in that respect, a conservation bill from an Alaskan lens. Is that fair?
Yeah, Representative Justin, through the chair, I think you could characterize it in that lens.
Okay. Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I'm through the chair to, the folks at DNR. So I'm going to oppose the amendment. And I'm going to oppose the amendment at request of a little permission, maybe pontificate a little bit. So the first aspect of it, I think, is relatively unnecessary. It says it's the intent of the legislature that the carbon offset program be used as a resource development tool. I think the underlying bill is pretty specifically, I mean, I think that underlying bill kind of stouts that whether or not you believe carbon is a resource or not, I think that's kind of unnecessary to discussion. But the real issue I have with is the second aspect of the BAT bill, when it says, and not cause consumers in state to pay higher prices for goods or energy as a result of the program. So my issue with that kind of intent language being added to the bill is it's very arbitrary based on your philosophical disposition. So on the one hand, when I think about this, I could argue that the entire concept behind a carbon selling scheme is there's no value created, so therefore you are driving up consumer costs. That would be from my kind of resource development economic mindset. That's the kind of the argument I would make. But I know that my friends who are advocates for climate change and different issues like that, their argument would effectively be to say that inaction is effectively driving up consumer costs as well, because at some point we'd have to deal with any type of mitigation if no sort of effort is ever put in place. So which bears in line with the problem, right? And the problem of the second half of the amendment is it doesn't really matter how you, it doesn't matter if the cat here is black or white. It's not going to be catching any mice, because depending on your philosophical disposition, I don't see that there's any way that the legislature, rather that the state government, could take this language about not paying high goods and energy as a result of the program and argue for or against that, having the program or not having the program, because I think that's the ultimately where you're going to go irrespective of your philosophy. So given the fact that I don't think that the legislature or the department could ever fulfill the intent language, I'm going to not be in favor of it. Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments, questions on amendment number one? Representative Clone.
Thank you, Chair. So thank you for answering that. I think there is it's a valid point to recognize that this could increase energy costs. That's a big deal to Alaskans, and so that's why I brought it up. Since you've spoken to it, and I know that this is on your radar, well, I guess we'll have to see how things are going. I do appreciate the so many hours of speaking to carbon, at least in this committee. I appreciate all your efforts. And so I'm going to go ahead and withdraw the amendment.
Okay, amendment number one has been withdrawn. So with that, we don't have any further amendments. And so with that, unless we have any more questions for the Commissioner Boyle or Ms. Miller, we could take the next step, which is to move the bill, and I don't see any hands, so I would entertain a motion. Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill number Senate Bill 48, version 33-GS1372-R from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay, do we have any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 48, version 33-GS1372-R is reported out from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. If the staff could please pass around the recommendation sheet, we'll take brief at ease. Okay, House Finance back on record at 1:14 p.m. We'd like to recognize that we're also joined by Representative Wright in the audience. Are you ready for your presentation, Representative Wright? No, joking. Thanks for joining us. So we left off yesterday with Senate Bill 140, which is Internet for Schools. When we set this bill aside, we were on conceptual amendment number 2 by Representative Stapp. And just to do a quick recap, so this is the Internet bill that we have before us. It's also known as the BAG bill, increasing the Internet speed for some schools from 25 megabytes to 100 megabytes. And we had amendments yesterday. Amendment number 1 added the pupil transportation component, which was about $7.5 million to the bill, and that was adopted. That was amendment number 1. Then we had conceptual amendment number 1, which added that was a piece of the BSA bill, and then we had conceptual amendment number 1, which added the rest of the BSA bill into the Internet bill. And then we had conceptual amendment number 2, which was offered by Representative Stapp. And so, Representative Stapp.
Well, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. After thoughts, I think that I will err on the side of caution and withdraw conceptual amendment 2.
Okay, thank you. And just also for a recap, conceptual amendment number 1 was for a BSA of $680 per student, and conceptual amendment number 2, which was just withdrawn, that was for a $1,360 BSA. So with that, that takes us to the end of the amendments. And if Representative Josephson?
Yeah, just so the record is clear, I think it is, but the second amendment, which was really the first conceptual amendment, included, had the effect of including all of CS for SB 52 finance.
That's correct. Thank you for that. I'd also like to recognize that we're joined by Representative Hemschutz. Thanks for joining us. Okay. And so if there is nothing else, to Representative Galvin.
Thank you. I'd just like to comment that it seems to me that the SB, I was able to last night read up and watch some of the SB 52 work that was done in the other body, and I noted how many times they referred to the READS Act and that this is the extension of that. In other words, the work is making sure that we can fund all of the pieces that were put in place originally last year with the $30 increment. And so I just wanted to make sure, since we hadn't discussed that and that came up in all of my watching and reading, that we acknowledge that piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have any further amendments? Seeing none, is there any further business to come before the committee? We'll set the bill aside. Representative Ortiz.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 140, Internet for Schools, 33-LS0687, /S as amended, with forthcoming fiscal notes from the House Finance Committee, and that the legislative legal be authorized to make any technical and forthcoming changes.
Great, thank you. And we have an objection. Representative Stapp, would you like to speak to your objection?
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. So I think the broadband bill and the BSA bill, I actually support both of those things. I think that our school districts have been very clear that we need to have a funding increase. I think the stability of long-term funding is a good thing. I'm not entirely sure if this is the right amount. I think the broadband bill would help equalize opportunity in rural Alaska to be able to kind of go forward for the future of kids and the next generation, and I think that's a really good thing. But as I expressed on the committee yesterday, I can't help but think about the underlying fiscal note to the underlying bill prior to amended, being amended with a number that is $6,000 to indeterminate, that I have another fiscal note that says $40 million a year, outside of the BSA. I have a letter from a telecom company that says it'll be $19 million a year, and I have an indeterminate fiscal note. So though I think all these things are probably good things and we should do them, I'm wary about doing them on the last day of the legislative session on concepts of a bill that I think have a lot of merit, but I do not believe that this committee has had adequate time to vet the legislation for us. So that's my objection.
Great. Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to be supporting the motion to move the bill out of the Finance Committee. I would note a couple things. We know that the amendment that was adopted late last night is wildly popular in the other body. We don't work for the other body, but it is a fact. We know that Amendment 26, I believe it was, in March or early April on the floor, was co-sponsored by every member of the majority. It had the same dollar amount that's here. This is statutory. We can look next year at reforming the foundation formula. I think that whatever comes from that sort of effort won't change the net result. And I don't think that we're being deceived by the 53 school districts when they report this is critical. And I think this is one of the top asks of the Alaska people. And I'd like to channel Harriet Drummond, my former colleague, who noted, when you're in the third grade, you can't wait around. You're a third grader once and fill in the blank for every other grade. I'm a little disappointed because I think this does not cover inflation. And so when there was a consideration to doubling it, that came closer. It may have just eclipsed inflation. And so I didn't look at that amendment as frivolous. But I think this is a critical piece that effectively has been endorsed by just about every member, perhaps 57 members of the legislature. And I think we should move the bill.
Thank you. Further comments, Representative Edgman?
Yes, I want to speak to the importance of the underlying bill that would allow, a large amount of schools in the state to participate in the E-rate program that allows for a matching rate of 8 to 9 federal dollars every state dollar. And the amendments yesterday were unexpected to me. I didn't expect that the bill would become a carrier to other issues, and I supported both amendments. I don't disagree with the comments about the needs for school districts in terms of operational costs and increased BSA amounts and so forth like that. But my I'm not going to oppose the amendment. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. I'm going to support it. But my hesitation, should this bill move out of the committee, is that it may weight down the underlying bill. And I've got concerns about that because I know there are other vehicles in play that deal with the BSA and the READS Act and deal with people trans, transportation, and what have you. So, again, I'm supporting the motion to move the bill out of committee, but it's also knowing that it's got a ways to go. And, we've got a couple days left in regular session and a lot on the plates, and I think I'm going to stop there. And but I just wanted to explain my yes vote, but with a sort of a caveat of hesitation tied to it.
Further comments, Representative Hannah, and then Cologne and Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Chair Foster. I am going to be a yes vote to move this bill from committee. And I think we have heard all session long from constituents, from school districts, about the importance of education. It's not a surprise to anyone. The dollar amount in the BSA, again, as my colleague Rep. Josephson referenced, that is the amount that the House we all put into the budget when it moved over. That's the biggest ticket item in this bill, and that was already in the operating budget. The underlying part of the bag bill, I think by changing the effective date and discussing at length the likelihood of districts being able to take advantage of it, the sticker price isn't nearly as big as we feared it might be at a first fiscal note. And we have to set school districts up to be able to get as much infrastructure in place to expand educational opportunities. You know, the one financial piece that we had not vetted on the floor or in this committee is the First Amendment to the bill last night that added pupil transportation. And at $7.5 million in pupil transportation, that's not an increase that I flinch at all. When we saw last fall pupil transportation crippling districts, the Mat-Su, Anchorage, Juneau, we all had problems with pupil transportation. So making sure that there's money in that, we're going to have schools on with internet flowing. We need to have kids being able to get to and from them safely. So that $7.5 million does not give me pause at all and believe that we need to put pupil transportation into a education package. I think this meets the needs barely. I don't think it sets us up for long-term success. There are things in the bill that I wish we had, but I think it's a very positive step forward for all of our school districts, and I think we need to move forward with it. So I would urge your yes vote today and encourage it to be on the floor tomorrow. So with that, thank you, Mr. Foster, Representative Foster.
Thank you, Representative Tomaszewski. I'm sorry, Colomb, Tomaszewski, then Galvin.
Thank you, Chair. So just a couple of comments about this. My concerns about the internet bill are coincide with Representative Stapp, so there's a lot of blurry math going on with that. We're not clear on what that impact is going to be, and yet I know schools need broadband. I know the speeds need to be faster. I know the schools need a higher BSA. I have yet to find anybody justifying $680. It's a random number that someone requested. We put it out to every single school district, whether they requested 680 or not. Some requested higher, some requested lower. We did not take the time to vet the number. We're putting one number out for everybody. Same with transportation. It was clear last night. We don't really know. Well, I didn't even understand the fund that the mechanism that they used to pay for transportation, the public school fund. And also didn't really know how much was funded. Why is it an increase of 7.5? There was a reference to CPI, but we really don't know why the 11% came. And I guess, for me, this is the finance committee. I can't afford to decide on a motion. This has to have numbers that are vetted and make sense. And we look forward to make sure the state can pay for it. I can't go forward with numbers that I haven't seen are based on anything. And I struggle because, you know, I want a BSA increase and I want transportation increase and I would like to see the broadband speeds increased. But as a finance member, I don't feel like these numbers are justified. I don't think that the people putting them forward have done the homework to justify the numbers that are there. And so now we're going to commit the state, not a one-time fund, forever fund, hoping that we're just going to make it work. And that is, in my opinion, irresponsible as a finance member. So I'm not going to support the motion.
Thank you. Representative Tomaszewski and then Representative Galvin. Also like to recognize that we're joined by Representative Dybert in the room. Thanks for joining us here today, Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Through the chair, yes, I have to agree with some of the comments I've heard here already. When this internet bill came to us, it had a $40 million fiscal note. And somehow that was changed to a fiscal note of $6,000. And this fiscal note was prepared by Senator Hoffman and Senator Olson, which I find curious. So in the analysis, we have 108 schools have been identified as newly eligible under this bill. These schools equal 72% of the 151 currently eligible schools. Deed estimates $19 million in grant funding would be needed for these schools to reach up to 100 megabytes. Okay, so we went from $40 million on the initial fiscal note, which is now somehow gone from my packet, to a fiscal note of $6,000. So basically what they're saying is they don't know, and this passing of this bill is basically a blank check. I don't think the state of Alaska can afford to write blank checks. I don't think we had proper testimony come forth for this bill. I don't know if we had testimony, public testimony on this bill at all, did we? And so in light of that, I was always concerned about this bill for those simple facts, and which is why I will not be supporting its passage, even though I know that these are good programs. But we cannot pass legislation because we know it's good. We need to pass legislation because we are here in the Finance Committee, because we are looking at the numbers, and we have to make sure that the numbers add up. So it would be irresponsible of us to pass this on, in my opinion. And I appreciate everyone showing up and listening to me, so thank you.
Okay, Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just have a couple of comments about this bill and the process. I'm very supportive. The underlying bill is really important to Alaska, particularly to those who are learning in rural Alaska. The Broadband Assistance Grant, the BAG, so to speak, it's called. I appreciate that it actually went down to the 6,000 because there were not clear numbers. So to me, that was the answer to that. Well, let's wait until we make sure that we're negotiating properly for the E-rates. So set that benchmark, to me, is critical for K-12. We know that rural Alaska is at best 25 megabytes, and the rest of urban Alaska is doing just fine. And so if we do not add, and I'm going to, I know I, the other day I referenced this, but I'm going to do it again, if I may. In this Constitution of Alaska, it reads, the legislature shall by general law establish and maintain a system of public schools open to all children of the state, and may provide for other public educational institutions. So, to me, if we are going to make it for all children, we have got to open up a 21st century learning opportunity for all children, and that's what this underlying bill, to me, does. And I appreciate that it's not the $40 million, because they weren't sure that that's the right amount. And frankly, it made sense to me that they pushed it to 2025. So this is not, to me, a big risk in that sense. There's time still to work that out, and that's important. Secondly, the BSA portion, as you know, we have vetted that even in this particular body twice. We've had discussions about the BSA number. We're all quite familiar. I think we even know that it came from the district that was sort of in the middle of the needs. I think they chose Kenai number, which came from the superintendent of Kenai. To my understanding, that came to 680. So I understood this very well. I also know that my colleague went to a higher number of 1250 because he looked at, over time, how we haven't been keeping up with the cost, the inflationary cost of education, and went to 1250. So this is certainly a compromise, if you will. It's not going to please everyone for sure. But I think that's how the House got to that number, and the Senate got to that number. The Senate 52 got to that number, and a large portion of them. And more importantly, it's, to me, where Alaskans are expecting us to go. It's the top ask of Alaska, that we have adequate, predictable funding. And to me, this is hitting that mark. And thirdly, transportation. I just want to touch on that for a moment, because some were confused about how we got to that number. And in looking and researching and reading, I found that they got to that number because in looking at the CPI inflation, it would move us to 22%, and instead this went to 11%, which roughly brought us to $7.5 million. And again, that's because we have had no raises in per pupil transportation since 2016. And so they took that date, moved it up to all the way to 2023, and that's how they got there. This is, to me, it's not absolutely perfect because we know that some districts have more needs than others. But again, in policy, when you're thinking about an entire state with 53 different school districts, it's something you have to do is kind of look at everyone and find ways to a solution. And I think to me, this isn't a Cadillac, but I'm sure pleased that we got to this place. And more importantly, I hope that this gets to a floor vote because that's the most important work we have yet ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to maybe put on the record where I'm at. I support all three parts of this bill. Speaking to the internet portion, I just don't want us to exacerbate the digital divide that we already see out there. And this is just so important. We've got to get ahead of the curve rather than behind the curve on that. I voted yes to adopt the amendment to add pupil transportation, even though, you know, part of it shows that one of my school districts, the Lower Yukon, only gets $1. But I do support the MATSU, for example, where this is a real issue. We saw in the headlines this winter that it was a real issue with the lack of, you know, bus drivers and so forth. And so I support that. And then finally, with regard to the BSA, you know, it's not just the teachers, but fuel for not just rural schools, but schools statewide. We've got, you know, huge fuel increases. No increase to the amount that we're seeing that's being funded to our schools. We're seeing huge jumps in insurance, especially health insurance for everyone, including us. You know, the availability of classes, whether it be art or carpentry or welding, we're seeing those slowly die off. And we all know that, you know, we can't just be a state where we only have, math and reading. So with that, I'll be supporting the amendment. Do we have any, or the bill, do we have any further comments, questions, Representative Staff?
Well, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Well, luckily I went to a good public school and I can do math, so I'm going to go ahead and withdraw my objection.
Okay, the objection has been withdrawn. Do we have any further objections? Seeing no further objections, CS for Senate Bill 140, Finance, which is version 33-LS0687/S. I believe, is that what you have, Representative Ortiz? Just want to make sure I'm mirroring your language there, is moved out of House Finance Committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. And I would also ask Leg Legal to make conforming and technical changes as needed. And so with that, it is reported out. It's been adopted. So with that, is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing none, we do have House Finance scheduled for this afternoon. It was supposed to be 1:30, which is now. We will take a break. We'll delay to the call of the chair, and we'll let folks know when we're coming back. So if you could also stay for the committee reports. And with that, we will be adjourned at 1:38 p.m. Thank you.